For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn to Solomon's Song, chapter 5. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5. And we will read the whole chapter. And then we read God's holy word. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends. Drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thy fairest among women? What is thy fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are boozy and black as the raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. So far, the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon do you find in the portion we read this evening, the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. A few words from verse 16, where we hear the bride saying, yea, he is altogether lovely. Beloved congregation, in this service of thanksgiving, I would like to ask you a question. A question that comes to us in every worship service, not always the same literally. The content of the question, however, comes to you and me, namely, what do you think of Christ? Who is he for you? It is a question that might be asked during a home visitation, and maybe this question has at one time been posed to you. What do you think of Christ? What can you tell of Him? And when the elders ask you if you can miss the Lord Jesus, the answer is easily given. No, I cannot. The question why you cannot miss Him is generally less easy to answer. Because you have to explain why the Lord Jesus is important to you. You have to answer the question why you desire Him. And maybe these questions uncover your unconverted state. We cannot answer these questions positively as long as we do not know Him by faith, as long as we live impenitently. If so, you have much reason to seek the Lord now that you are under the lively preaching of the gospel. May the Spirit break your heart when you hear the preaching about the beauty of Christ, so that you discover your poverty of not knowing Christ and how rich you are if you are His. We write above the sermon the exquisite beauty of Christ. I did not divide the theme into points, but the theme of the sermon is the exquisite beauty of Christ. Our text expresses the beauty of Christ. They are the closing words of a series of praises addressed to the groom. In the previous verses, the bride explains to the daughters of Jerusalem what the groom looks like. She provides a detailed description of her groom because she is looking for him. She seriously seeks him, for she cannot miss him. She needs his presence, otherwise she cannot live. She looks forward to meeting him again. And she asks the other virgins of Jerusalem if they will look for him as well. And she asks them to seek with her. If they find him, they must tell her, because she is sick of love. And the virgins are willing to help her. But first of all, she has to provide a description of him. What does he look like? Why is her groom so special? And they ask the bride, tell us something about him. What makes her beloved more special than other men? And the bride answers this question and starts to sing about his beauty. From verse 10 onward, he is white and ruddy. His skin shines and glows. Ruddy means that his health is perfect. The red color of his blood shines through his skin. He is a picture of robust health. And then she describes her groom from head to foot. She describes his hair, his eyes, his cheeks and lips. And then she describes his hands, his belly and his legs. She describes these body parts separately. And she uses the nicest words to express his beauty. You need to become impressed of him. He is incredibly handsome, so that you lack words to express it. And at the end of verse 15, we read that his whole body, his appearance, is like the Lebanon, with its excellent cedars. And not only his appearance is indescribable beautiful, but the words which come from his lips are excellent as well. What he says is nothing but sweetness. It is as if the bride turns shy when she comes to the final description of her groom. As if she is about to say, what more can I tell? What else can I tell to express his beauty and excellence? And then she expresses the words of our text. Yea, he is altogether lovely. As you can notice, the bride uses only superlative words to express the beauty of her groom. Everything of him is amazingly beautiful and charming. It does not matter from which angle you look at him. Every single part of him is desirable. What a proclamation, isn't it? Especially if you consider that this description is given by the Church of Christ. This is apparently the language that will be understood by all true believers. They will admit that these descriptions are applicable to him. This song only fits with Christ. Those who look to Christ by faith will admit and profess, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Is this the song you desire to sing when you meditate on Christ? Do you know Christ in his beauty because you have met Christ in his word? Do you want to love him, cherish him like the bride sings of her groom in this song? There is nothing surpasses him. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. He is so praiseworthy. And the word that is rendered lovely is derived from a root that signifies to covet. It has all to do with our desires. And ask yourself this question and be honest. What is your desire? What is the focus of your longings? If you know yourself a bit, you need to confess that by nature your desire is not focused on him. Really, nothing of him we judge to be attractive. At one time, it was different. In paradise, Adam and Eve desired to only do the will of God. They lived in a beautiful garden which entirely spoke of the goodness and faithfulness of God. It was a garden that only radiated beauty, sweetness and love. The whole garden was focused on the honor and glory of its great Creator. And the desire of Adam and Eve was to glorify God, since he is so lovely. He deserves to be honored. Man's whole desire was focused on God. But the desire of man changed in paradise. In Genesis 3 we read about another desire, namely the desire to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was a tree to be desired to make one wise. And Eve indulged this desire and took and ate of this fruit. And she also gave it to Adam. But they did not become wise, but instead blind for God and for everything that pleases God. And since that time, you and me, since that time, your and my desires have been completely corrupted. Completely corrupted. After Genesis 3, we read of the desire of man. He has no desire after God and Christ, but to sin only. That desire is continually in and with you and me. What does it mean to desire? It means that you lose your heart in something. A desire means that you put effort into it. An illustration of this we find in the history of Achan. When the Israelites entered the promised land, they first took Jericho. The Lord forbade them to keep anything of the city possessions. But when Achan saw the wedge of gold, he coveted it. He desired that gold. It became a highly desirable object. And that is an illustration of our desire. By nature, we ardently covet to sin. Has the Lord already uncovered you to this? Your desire is opposite to the will of God. How will that change? Only if the Holy Spirit works in you and teaches you the will of God. When the Holy Spirit operates in you, then your eyes will be opened for who you really are. You get to know your sinful desires. This lesson is not pleasant to the flesh. You discover that you are the opposite of the groom of whom the bride sings. And you admit, I am not lovely, but awful. Nothing in me is comely and attractive to a holy God. And all attempts to make myself more desirable to God makes me even more hideous. All my good works are as filthy rags. And you confess, I cannot stand before God. You experience that you are damned worthy to Him. Why do we need to experience something of our terrible state? Why do I need to feel myself miserable before God? Because otherwise you will not gain a genuine desire after Christ. Otherwise you will never discover that Christ is altogether lovely. That He is altogether desirable. But when the Holy Spirit breaks down your haughtiness and your so-called good intentions, more and more you will discover that to the same or greater degree, you find everything in the Lord Jesus. And for that reason, we need a surging preaching about our sins. For that reason, we need to be pointed to who we are in ourselves. We cannot do without the painfully uncovering operations of the Spirit. And that happened also this morning during the administration of the Lord's Supper. The bread and the wine points us to our uncleanness, our deficiency, our blindness, our weakness, our misery, to our damnworthiness. And in this way, the Lord makes room for the beauty of Christ. He makes room for Himself so that poor, lost sinners learn that He is altogether lovely. And for that reason, these things need also to be mentioned in a service of thanksgiving. We need this instruction during the weeks and months ahead. Otherwise, your knowledge of the loveliness of Christ will not be deepened and renewed. We wonder, what is so praiseworthy about Christ? Our text says, He is altogether lovely. He is entirely lovely. He is altogether desirable. Altogether. That means that nothing of Christ can be considered as less desirable. Nothing of Christ offends. Nothing of Him is not pleasant to the eye of faith. That is very special. That makes Him so unique, congregation. Of whom can it be said in this world that He has nothing that offends? Nobody is perfect. Every human being has something wrong, and not just a little. In your nature and character, but in your appearance as well. Young people, how many times do you stand before the mirror and to look into it to make sure that you look nice? Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to say that both His inner man and the outer are very desirable. There is no shadow when the Son of God's Spirit lightens Him. He is altogether glorious. The Lord Jesus has no dark, no negative side. The Lord Jesus does not need to hide some unpleasant thing for people. He is altogether desirable in who He is and what He does. He is lovely and delightful to see. Especially His scars are lovely to see. Do you know, young people, who Alexander the Great is? He was a king of the ancient Greek kingdom of Macedonia who succeeded in forging the largest Western empire of the ancient world. At one time, he wanted a portrait of himself. Every respectable king made a portrait of himself. This man was not unfamiliar with proud feelings. The artist that painted him at one point told him that he should put his hand on his leg so that an ugly scar would not be seen. And so it happened. But how different is the Lord Jesus? He does not need to hide anything. Even His scars are not ugly, but most lovely and attractive. His scars are so lovely since they witness of His unspeakable love to sinners. They tell of His finished work and His sacrifice. And the one that looks in faith at the scars of the Lord Jesus cannot stop watching. He is so desirable. You are allowed to look at His wounds without limitations. You are allowed to stare at Him of His infinite love to lost sinners. This is the same we considered this morning, but then in other words, namely that you may drink till you are drunk of the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Drink of the Spirit, drunk of His love. You may look in faith to the Lord Jesus without any limitation. Just consider for a moment who He is. What the Lord Jesus did during His stay here on earth. pay attention to His instructions. The people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Consider the many healings He performed. They brought unto Him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Meditate on His compassion. He was moved with compassion on them when He cried out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as an hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? Meditate on His unsearchable love. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And when they crucified Him and divided up His garments, we hear Him praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Unfathomable love is to be found in Him who prayed and still prays, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. Consider in particular His suffering and death. What is said of Him? What do you see if you look at Him with physical eyes? He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. But if you look at Him with the eyes of faith, you see that He is altogether beautiful. He is totally desirable. He is altogether lovely. He is altogether desirable, desirable in His names. He has many names. He is called the Savior, the Good Shepherd, the Resurrection, the Way, the Truth, the Life. He is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is also desirable in His natures. He is true God and true man. By the power of His Godhead, He was able to sustain the burden of God's wrath in His human nature. Because He was very man, He is the perfect mediator and deliverer of His people. He abides in heaven with His human nature to intercede with the Father for His church. And what about His offices? Is He not desirable as prophet, who reveals to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption? Is He not desirable as high priest, who by the one sacrifice of His body has redeemed His church? Is He not desirable as king, who governs His people by His word and spirit, and who defends and deserves His people in that salvation? Tell me, boy or girl, young man or woman or elderly, is this the language of your heart? I do not ask you if you celebrated the Lord's Supper this morning. It could be that you did not, although you desire to commune with Him. Do you confess in all areas of life, He is altogether lovely? Or is his lovely only in part? In part. Maybe the Lord Jesus is important to you. You need him especially for the forgiveness of your sins. But when he reveals himself as the Lord who wants to sanctify your life, when he teaches you to mortify your sins, is he then lovely as well? Is he altogether lovely? When he uncovers the depravity of your heart more and more, is he altogether lovely? When he says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Is he allowed to dethrone your pride? May your selfishness and prestige be crucified. We can so quickly desire the forgiveness of our sins, but without the desire to be redeemed from the power of sin. Our carnal mind wants to be saved without bearing the cross. Then you cannot truly profess he is altogether lovely. Then you still belong to those who have heard the word of God with joy, but whose faith has no root because of indulging sinful desires rather than feeding your soul by the instructions from God's word. True faith is only satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ and all his benefits. Why? Because the believer has learned that he has nothing of himself. The emphasis is not only on altogether, but also on he. He is altogether lovely. He must increase, but I must decrease. Only with Christ I can stand before God's judgment seat. Only with him I can stand before God. If God looks at me through Christ, who is altogether desirable, then he sees no sin but Christ's perfect righteousness. And true faith embraces Christ and all his benefits. You are so poor if you do not know Christ as altogether desirable. You are to be pitied. The Sun of Righteousness shines in the midst of the congregation under the preaching of the gospel, but you are not aware of it. He shines with his light of love and compassion, but you do not sense it. You do not perceive it because your view is not upward but downward. You walk in your own shadow. Your clouds of sin and guilt try to stop the light of the Sun of Righteousness. You have many desires, but they are all focused on this temporary life. That is altogether nothing more than vanity. I wish that the poverty of your life will alarm you and cause us a broken heart and contrite spirit. Do you not hear who the Lord Jesus is altogether? He is altogether desirable. He is altogether lovely. Maybe you sigh and answer, I do not know how to change myself. I am so discouraged. Do you think that this Jesus Christ is not able to change your heart? He is altogether lovely. So seek it with the Lord, for he is all you need to repent and to believe. And by the powerful operations of the Spirit, He opens your eyes for the loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you will have expectation of Him alone. Blessed is he or she who knows Him by faith as the one who is altogether lovely. Can you confess this together with the bride? From your side, you miss everything. And maybe you say, so many times I miss a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ so that I cannot sing along with this exquisite song. My desires so many times are driven away. How is that possible? The chapter we read tells us something about it. We now turn our attention from the groom to the bride. She is also described in this chapter. And what do we see? That she is not always the same. In our scripture reading, we see another picture of the bride. We hear her complaining. She misses the groom, although he has come into the garden, as we read in verse 1. But he still misses him. God's church misses the Lord many times. Not because the groom waits long in coming, but because she seeks him so little. What do we read in this chapter? When the groom comes to her, she is already lying on her bed. As he comes, she has no desire anymore to get out of bed because she does not want to defile her feet again. She has no desire to dress herself again. She is too much for her. She almost fell asleep, although her love to him had not vanished. But she was lazy. And the groom knocks on the door and beseeches her to open. He stood by the door of her heart, but she opened not. And the groom extended his hands through the opening, through the hole of the door, but he pulled back his hand and left. And then her feelings for him were stirred up again, and she rises to open the door for him. She grabs the door handle and her hands drips with myrrh. Myrrh that came from his hand. He left the marks of his love. He left since she was lazy. She had rejected his overture of love. And for that reason, she needs to go on without him. But she cannot resign herself to that. Here we see an important mark of true faith, congregation. God's living church can wander away. God's people admit this to their shame. But they cannot do without him. Because of his absence, they start to seek him again. They have no rest till they find him. God's church needs to fight against laziness. So much laziness can remain in the lives of those who fear the Lord. And for that reason, they can complain that they miss the Lord. Spiritual laziness. I believe that is one of the reasons why spiritual life does not flourish. So easily they leave Jesus' command unheeded. Watch and pray. that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are so in need of the Spirit, who teaches us to watch and to pray. We need the Spirit also in our days. In our days, many temptations draw us away from a genuine seeking, so that you have no time, no energy to meditate upon God's Word. No time to attend a midweek service or ABC or a prayer meeting. Oh, for sure, many of us have good excuses. But be honest. Do all our good excuses come from a heart that desires Him? And one of the reasons that spiritual life withers is that we so take so little time to meditate on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is willing to teach you by the means of preaching and Bible reading and meditation. True love will use the means. And when we are taught by the Lord, we will consider more and more who we are in ourselves and who God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you desire to know more of Him. And the fruit of this all is that you start singing with the bride, "He is altogether lovely." And you discover more and more the loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is desirable in His person, in His offices, in His natures, in His works. All the desires of this world are as nothing in comparison with the glory of Christ. But there's more to mention. For the well-being of spiritual life, a growth in the knowledge of Christ is essential. Many spiritual doubts are caused by a lack of a spiritual, experiential knowledge of Christ. The more I know Him, the more I discover His glory and His love, I discover more and more that He fits with me. And I perceive more of His willingness, His righteousness, His love, His necessity. He is worthy of all my love. In this way, room is made for the prayer, "Mold and shape me into Thy image, Lord Jesus, more and more." You have a heartfelt desire to die to yourself. You desire to fight against sin by the power of Christ's resurrection. Your heart is filled with His love, with His compassion. And your neighbors will notice that as well. You feel grief inside when you see so many people living after their own lusts, even in our congregation. And true love cannot suffer this. Will you not seek Him? Maybe you feel sad because you are not sure if you know His love in truth. You experience that you are dead in trespasses and sins. You do not know how to be released from the power of sin. Every time you feel pulled down by temptations, but your heart beats faster and you hear preaching about the love of Christ, and you desire to be a partaker of the salvation in Christ, but you feel too weak to repent. You desire to know Christ's love, but you do not know how to become a subject of His love. Listen carefully to the text. He is altogether lovely. All that He provides does and attains His, all that He provides does and attains is lovely. It is all desirable. Will you sincere desire not fit with His desire? God the Father has proclaimed about His Son, "This is my beloved Son, in with whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Hear Him. Seek it with Him. With Him who is altogether lovely. Do not suspect anything. Do not suspect anything of Christ. But have expectation of Him who is altogether lovely. Sinners and publicans are welcome to come to the Lord Jesus. He eats and drinks with them. You are not too sinful. You can be too good. Throw away your pride and bend your knees. He will teach you to sing this along. He is altogether lovely. My heart doth overflow. A goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue will joyful song doth praise the King divine. Amen.